Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program very much. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, August 20, 2021. A Sudanese political analyst says Sudan is concerned about peace in South Sudan.
And I think that the tension that erupted in South Sudan is also raised the concern of Khartoum, so that to discuss these issues as any insecurity between one of the two states, it's considered to be insecurity of the two states.
And three people were killed during cattle raid in Jonglei State.
The women were going to Pagak. They fell into an ambush and got killed. They were carrying some food items, and when they met the gunmen, they threw their property away and started running back.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A known number of children from Eastern Equatoria State are working in Juba on farmlands along the banks of the River Nile. Some children who spoke to South Sudan in Focus say they are looking for jobs to earn money for basic needs. The undersecretary in the Ministry of Labor says the ministry is working to address issues to do with child labor in South Sudan. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
A 15-year-old boy we will refer to only as John to protect his privacy says he came to Juba 3 months ago. John says he was encouraged by some children who had already come to Juba from Ikotos County. And money working various jobs, then returned to Ikotos to show other children what they earned within a short period of time.
I just came to Juba to work. Those people who returned to the village from Juba here are the ones who told me that there are jobs in Juba.
A 10-year-old child working in Juba, whom we shall refer to as Samuel, says he received permission from his parents 3 years ago to come and work. He says he has been sending money back home to his parents to buy livestock.
I heard that Juba is good. It has everything. That was why I came, for money just. We work on the farm planting sukuma, dodo, and anything we are assigned to do, we do. When I get my money, I wish to buy cows, goats, chicken, and sheep, all of them.
According to William Okot, chairperson of the Ikotos community in Juba, some children leave their parents' homes without permission, leaving their parents to go searching for them. He says some parents permit their children to travel to Juba, but they do not know that their children end up working on farms in Juba.
The same thing in the village is that when people come to town, there are a lot of jobs here which people can do and get money out of it. Unfortunately, they don't know exactly what are those jobs. So the majority end up doing this type of job in the garden.
A Kenyan who owns a farm along the Nile, who prefers to be identified only as Buchiri and declined to be recorded but agreed to be quoted for this report, says he has contracted 4 boys to help him with what he refers to as light labor, such as weeding crops. He says he sometimes employs children out of pity for their dire economic situation. He says some of the children often have nothing to eat. He says he provides the children with lunch in addition to monthly wages on his farm. Another farmer, Luis Loyata, says he does not hire children because he is aware of the country's labor laws.
So far, I've not employed kids below 15 or 17 because they are not in position to do hard work and labor work, like a physical worker mostly. They are not in position. Like I always not able to employ them to do those works because of their physical structure. And me, someone who knows the labor law of South Sudan and all this, I'm not in position actually to employ these boys.
Mary Hilary Wani, the undersecretary in South Sudan's labor ministry, says the ministry is aware of child labor but admits it is handicapped to do anything about it. Wani says although the labor law states that children should not engage in hazardous work, the conditions in South Sudan force children to work. Wani says the ministry does not have the resources to inspect whether the law is enforced.
The situation dictates. Like here in South Sudan, you'll find that there are children, maybe without the care of adults, guardians or relatives who can take care of their needs, basically food. You know, then they are forced to go out and look for some work so that they can cater for themselves. But we, as Minister of Labor, our hands are tight in that we do not have the resources even for doing inspection. We don't have the mobility. We don't have the facilitation that we need to be able to go out and check these places and advise the parents or whoever that children should not be engaged, young children should be going to school rather than, you know, engaging in this labor.
Wani is urging NGOs working with children to help some of these children get back to school. She says the government should tell children not to engage in hazardous work, but rather join vocational institutions to acquire the necessary skills they need to survive in the job market. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Civil society activists in the Jonglei State Capital Bor are urging community leaders and the state government to enact laws that address issues to do with forced marriages. This call comes after a young woman took her own life when she was forced by her relatives to marry a wealthy man. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
18-year-old Amerthon from the Juet clan of Jalepayam in Bor County committed suicide on Sunday following a standoff between her family and her lover over a bride price. Thon's cousin Manyang Jok says the young woman had eloped with a man from Mawarial County in Lake State a week earlier. Jok says his cousin's family brought her back home because the man had only 4 cows, which they said was not enough for the bride price. He says the family wanted Thon to marry another man who was willing to pay more cattle for her hand in marriage. Jok says Thon insisted on marrying the man she loved, and when her parents did not allow her to do so, she committed suicide.
This young lady was taken by a man from Aliab, and she was brought back home and later taken after Juba by the family because the man had no dowry. We told her to wait at home as the family would decide whether to give her back to that man or not. But she escaped from Juba and went back to that man. And again, she was brought back home. In the process, there she took a rope, went to the house and locked it. We broke the door and found she hanged herself. She was still alive, and we took her to Bor Hospital, where she later succumbed to the wounds on her neck.
Civil society activist Bol Dengbol is with the Bor-based advocacy group Interpret South Sudan. Bol says forced marriages violate South Sudanese laws, and whoever forces a person to marry another person should face justice. Thon's mother, 37-year-old Bol Yara Nyeth, says she regrets the death of her elder daughter.
This child is my own child. I didn't intend anything but to happen to her. I didn't know she would do such thing. I always stood with her, and she knew that there was a man who had flesh to pay 30 cows as dowry, and the family was yet to make the final decision about it. Maybe she assumed that she would be forced, but I cannot accept to sell my child even though I'm poor. She took that decision, and now I am left in shock.
Jonglei State Police spokesperson Major Majang Tuor confirms the police are aware of the incident, but says no one was arrested. He says police are trying to locate and identify the parents of the deceased woman for the investigation.
Yes, of course the police is aware, and there is no anything of us on who has visited any police station to open the case and narrate how the incident occurred. Anyway, the police is trying to find out the concerned relative of the victim in order to let the public know what was the root cause of the suicide mission of that young lady. And once we are through that process, then we shall let the public aware.
To urge members of public to report to police as soon as possible safety-related incidents such as suicide. Jonglei State Gender Minister William Kwalchol says it is sad to see a young woman commit suicide because she was forced into a marriage.
As a Minister of Gender, we are trying to to advocate through the community leadership, giving them workshop in order to eradicate this early marriage or false marriage as a real threat.
Malanga Yuen Mawir, the acting Bor County Paramount Chief, says ending child and forced marriages is a long-term undertaking that requires comprehensive and coordinated action by the government in partnership with civil society groups and other relevant stakeholders. He says parental consent should not be used as an excuse for allowing earlier and forced marriages.
It's not good to be forced to marry a man, and also a girl should not insist to marry a man that the family has not consented. She should be patient at home and until the family understand themselves. My advice to these people is that they shouldn't involve violence in settling family issues such as marriage, violent wooden situations.
In 2016, the United Nations General Assembly adopted a resolution to eliminate child, earlier and forced marriage globally with a resolution that called on states to strengthen laws and policies to protect women and girls from what the UN calls this harmful practice. The legal age for marriage in South Sudan is 18. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
Still in Jonglei State, authorities say at least 3 people were killed and more than 50 heads of cattle were allegedly stolen in 2 separate incidents in Duke County this week. VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Reached by phone in Duke County, Commissioner John Chatim Ray says 2 women were traveling on foot to Pagak when unidentified gunmen attacked them.
The women were going to Pagak. They fell into an ambush and got killed. They were carrying some food items, and when they met the gunmen, they threw their property away and started running back. The gunmen chased them down and later shot them dead. There were cattle traders following them, and when the attack happened, the unarmed cattle traders also ran back and reported the matter.
Chatim says this is one of 2 attacks in the area this week. He says another attack on cattle traders occurred on Wednesday, in which 1 person was killed. Chatim says 7 heads of cattle were stolen in that attack. The Duke County Commissioner says he suspects the gunmen who attacked Fagak village last night crossed over from the neighboring Greater Pibor administrative area.
After their footsteps were traced, the criminals headed to the direction of the Pibor administrative area. We have asked youths not to follow the criminals for the interest of peace, but we ask the Pibor administrative area to arrest the criminals. Once they arrive, they will not stay in the bush with cattle.
Jai Adingonye, Information Minister for the Greater Pibor administrative area, says he is not aware of any attack carried out by criminals from his area.
Actually, I did not have the information about that incident. I cannot now confirm because we don't actually whether they are people from this side who have gone there. In case we get information like this, we will follow it up, and if these criminals are found and it happened that they are from this place, of course they will be arrested and brought to justice.
Greater Pibor officials have repeatedly promised to help apprehend any criminals from their area who carry out attacks on parts of Jonglei State. For years, communities from Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor administrative area have engaged in some of the worst communal fighting in the country, which have included deadly cattle raids and child abduction. Communities from the 2 areas have repeatedly committed to end the attacks and counter-attacks in a peace deal. Commissioner Chatim says Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor administrative area officials plan to exchange a number of former abducted children from both areas later this month in a gesture of peace and reconciliation in the region. For VOA News, I'm Manyang David Mayar in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a Sudanese analyst says Sudan cares about South Sudan. That story is lined up after the break.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Moudou. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A Sudanese political analyst says the recent split within the former rebels loyal to South Sudan's first vice president Riek Machar could affect efforts to bring peace in South Sudan. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Sudanese journalist and a political analyst Muhammad Ali Fazari says Sudan is disturbed by the recent split within the SPLM-IO and escalation of violence in Upper Nile State over the past 2 weeks. He says Hamdok is getting involved to try to de-escalate tensions between South Sudanese leaders. Fazari says the Sudanese transitional government wants to ensure that the relative peace that has existed for a little more than 2 years along the border between Sudan and South Sudan continues.
And I do think that the tension that erupted in South Sudan is also raised the concern of Khartoum so that to discuss these issues as any insecurity between one of the two states, it's considered to be insecurity of the two states. So the Prime Minister visits Juba and discussed peace agreement that has been signed and also the security of South Sudan.
Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok is leading a delegation of several ministers who are meeting with South Sudanese leaders to discuss the implementation of both the Juba Peace Agreement and the River Talais Peace Agreement in South Sudan. Fazari says Hamdok, who chairs the regional bloc IGAD, is also in Juba to tackle escalating tensions among SPLM-IO leaders involved in internal party dispute in an effort to save the River Talais Peace Agreement.
IGAD is very concerned about the conflicts in the region, so it doesn't want any more conflicts, so that Abdullah Hamdok will visit Juba with a full mandate from IGAD. He will discuss in depth a lot of mechanisms so that can be implemented on the ground.
Sudanese officials say they also want to seek more opportunities to strengthen bilateral ties between the two neighboring countries. Sudanese Foreign Minister Maryam Sadiq al-Mahdi told reporters yesterday at Juba International Airport that they will discuss trade, the opening of borders, and are expected to sign a memorandum of understanding on the exchange of commercial banks between the two countries. Fazari says this would boost the economy of both countries.
This is one of the good intentions made by the government in Khartoum, and also the Sudanese government will go ahead to implement all the cooperation agreement regarding commerce and also the exchanging the interest between the two countries. And also there are a lot of memorandum of understanding is going to be signed very soon.
Fazari says the cooperation shown between Sudan and South Sudan offers a good lesson for other African nations to learn how to resolve their differences.
The two viable states working together, helping each other, supporting each other in their internal support, and achieving peace and stability in the region will be a model for the whole Africa and in Africa, in Eastern Africa in particular.
Sudan and Uganda are the guarantors of the South Sudan River Talais Peace Agreement signed in September 2018. South Sudan President Salva Kiir mediated peace negotiations between the Sudanese transitional government and the armed opposition groups in Juba, which led to the Juba Peace Agreement signed in October last year. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Let us know what you think about this show. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. We heard from many of you this week who felt compelled to write in about the number of deadly road ambushes and cattle raids that have occurred in recent days and weeks in South Sudan. Roy Majok from Bantu Town in Unity State writes, Dear VOA South Sudan in Focus, I'm appealing to the South Sudan government to address communal violence across the country, especially in the Tonj community where they are still fighting among themselves because of issues to do with cattle raiding. Jacob Dior Machuang from Euro Lake State says, the resumption of ambushes and killings on Juba Numuli Highway is disheartening. The criminals in the bushes are getting it wrong. How can they randomly shoot at any moving vehicle on the road, not knowing they may hurt their relatives and innocent people who are not part of their hunt? The killing of the missionary sister is sending and repeating a bad image to the world, especially the Catholics that stood by ourselves during the struggle with Khartoum. May she rest in peace. Mabor Aladringo from Rumbek writes, hello VOA, this is a brand new week with new updates from your hard-working team members. The killing of a Catholic nun on the Juba Numuli Road by assailants is a great loss to the Catholic Church family in South Sudan at large. The perpetrators should face justice and must be brought to book. Daniel Dud Majok from Rumbek Lake State says, on the issue of Juba Numuli Road, Yei Road ambushes, my thought is that the government should deploy armed forces alongside the road 75 miles away from the city of Juba to avoid unknown gunmen killing people all the time, like killing of aid workers, artists, and government officials. Morwelded Nyot Chawu from Juba says, hello VOA News, I would like to tell the national, regional and international bodies that South Sudan peace agreement is sick and near to death without treatment. The defections of politicians and military generals has brought fear in terms of mass destruction, killing, violence and displacements. Several road ambushes along Juba, Yei, Juba Numuli and Juba Terkeke roads and in Tonj Northeast and Upper Nile State where people have lost their lives and property. Taze John Lino from Juba says, for those who have taken away the lives of our two beloved Catholic sisters on Juba Numuli Highway, God will judge them in their final day. David Javero from Yei writes, unknown gunmen have become another political issue in the country. Where are we going as the youngest nation in the world? All political parties should do the right things to their own people. They claim that their parties are together with the people of South Sudan while ending up killing innocent souls. God's servants, like sisters and pastors, may God put their souls in eternal peace. How can you kill your mother without any reason? God will judge your party one day. Someone who did not leave their name writes, hello John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. The killing of Catholic sisters and other passengers on Numuli Highway this week was heartbreaking. I'm calling on the government of South Sudan to put an end to these ambushes on the main highway by tightening security on this road. Our people are getting finished. May God put their souls in eternal peace. Loongo Alex Taban Kiliopas from the Bidibidi Refugee Settlement Zone 3 says, we are paying our ears for peace, but it is like a dream which has no meaning. But what can bring lasting peace in South Sudan because we are really tired of staying in Uganda? Hakim Misko from Yei writes, hello South Sudan in Focus. Allow me to give you thanks for the job well done on letting us know what is happening in our country and beyond. Many thanks to Zambia's newly elected president Hakainde Hichilema. And may God be with you all, VOA South Sudan family. Thok Chuniyokwai from Juba says, the arrival of Sudanese leaders to South Sudan is a very good move, but we want them to push the leaders of South Sudan to implement the security arrangement because implementing some of the chapters without security arrangements is like food without stew. Isaac Tang from Bentiu Town writes, the coalition of civil action needs to engage people to ask their leaders to do what people want in this country as their right, but who will respect you in peaceful protests? Our leaders are not the matter, but the matter is the so-called AU, and IGAD is to blame for our long suffering and not RT Gono for not implementing the 2018 deal because they're not overseeing it. Thanks, VOA. Kelemen Wani from Lanya of Central Equatoria State says, I am appealing to the government of South Sudan to bring in the holdout groups in order to avoid more killing of innocent civilians. I wish of the government of South Sudan to bring in the holdout groups and graduate the unified forces according to the peace agreement to improve security within the country and avoid losing our innocent civilians. Mayen from Yei says, Condolences to the families of those who lost their lives on the Torii-Juba Road. The government has done less to speed up the implementation of the peace, so withdrawal from the Rome Peace Agreement is not a solution to the ongoing road ambushes and other issues in South Sudan. Mal Adao Mal in Bortown says, "Hello VOA, thank you John and Nabil for undoubted news program that's always rendered to the people, although our country is heading nowhere due to political dishonesty. When I look at South Sudan, it is time to realize nimble and permanent peace because of this kleptocratic government. What a confused nation it is." Angonka Iwen Lueth from Gumbo Sharkat Juba writes, "Hello John Tanza and your VOA colleagues. The unnecessary attack on the highways in South Sudan, more especially on Juba Numale Highway, is alarming and calls for government intervention. The people being killed on the highways are of importance to their communities and societies, if not to the government. I'm urging the government to assign security organs to safeguard the passengers on their journeys. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or VOA. We appreciate hearing from so many of you. Keep those comments coming."
Thanks for your comments, and remember to keep them short. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We reserve the right to read your brief comments every Friday. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with Genesis, the veteran, with the song Sambala Sambala.
Saba saba, the sunuji wereti baga nazara, no pure saba saba, moju kulu adenda kotolu tuda, no pure saba saba, moju kulu su adenda kotolu tuda, anyara na suna mede na kadi ta kodi de bini mede na suna mani yelunga, yara na zoyo ya na kodi na galoni ta kodi bini mede na suna mani ya, na biki na ngaji kasumirunda kuli ngela sula wewere tu sambala. Sambala, 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 sambala.
Veteran Dickey Nation, we sing for the nation, you know. In the Sambala side, yo. I don't want a Sambala movement. Stick to your responsibilities. Avoid some bad, bad, bad combination. Mutu Kodon, Nyere, Juba, Juba, Rwanda, Burundi, Kenya. Ya Sara Nisara, Mangwa, Jikolu, Molu, De Den, Kodon, Nututan. Dene Dendi, Domo, Yemede. Dene Dendi, Domo, Temede.
We've been listening to a group calling itself Genesis the Veteran with the song Sambala Sambala. I'm John Tamsler. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Sambala, Sambala, Sambala.